WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So is it possible that New York could become a swing state in the presidential race? The Siena Research Institute has released two new polls about New York State, and the results might surprise you. The presidential election poll numbers, just released this morning, reveal a very close race in New York. This is just one poll out of many, so I don't want to make too much of this right now. But this is new, and this is out today, and this is a respected polling organization. And according to it, Obama's lead over McCain has slipped to just 5 points in New York. Plus, on the economy, there are other poll. New Yorkers are getting second jobs in huge numbers and have a pretty grim outlook on the economy. And this was taken before the Lehman Brothers, AIG, and Merrill Lynch news all broke. So joining us to explain these new numbers and take some phone calls on them is Dr. Don Levy. He's director of the Siena Research Institute. Dr. Levy, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
And listeners, we can take your calls for him, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Our active comments page, still open at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer's show. So I just want to say right up front that in the newspapers over the weekend, there was a reference to a New York State average of polls, the various polls that have been measuring New York State, moving from a 20-point Obama advantage to a 16-point Obama advantage. So down, but not down to what you found, 5 points. So at the moment, you're an outlier. What do you make of it?
Well, at this point, I think we have the most current poll that's been released out in the marketplace. I think some of the averages that you might be talking about, and certainly what we were looking at well before the convention, showed a big difference. But this is something that's current, and as you know, every poll is a snapshot. But right now, we're showing that New Yorkers, the gap for in favor of Senator Obama is down to 5 points.
Certain demographics, certain parts of the state?
Well, I think the one that we really need to call attention to right away is a demographic that a lot of people have been talking about, and that's the group of people that are white women. So we're showing right now that John McCain actually has a lead amongst white women across the state of New York by 55% to 36%. So we certainly are looking at what appears to be a very, very large difference amongst that demographic.
Now, one of our comment page commenters says, not one of these polls takes into account the millions of newly registered Democrats. Does yours, and if so, how?
Well, what we're looking at is we called people up in this poll who we knew were registered to vote. So this is working off a list of registered voters across the state, and then we further qualified people.
Does that include newly registered voters?
It certainly wouldn't include someone who had registered to vote within the last month or so. It is the most currently available list that we can get our hands on through county registers and other available sources that we have. So absolutely, if there's a large number of people registering right now, we could very well have not gotten those folks. So it is worth considering. Nonetheless, we're working off the best available list that there is of registered voters, and then we further ask people whether they were likely to vote or not. So this poll that we're releasing today is specifically amongst those folks who say that they intend to vote in November.
another comment from our comments page. They want to know how you handle or account for cell phone only people, because there's various commentary out there that, you know, cast doubt on the validity of all polling at this point, especially with respect to measuring younger voters and younger Americans generally as they move to a cell phone only culture.
Clearly, that's a problem with our entire industry, and it's if you stop and think about it, there are even no doubt people that are going to vote in New York State who may very well have a cell phone that's in exchange from another state that they've kept before they moved to New York. So clearly, there is a problem in our field with getting those cell phone only people. Now, what we do, and what I think virtually all polling entities do, is we weight our data by the best available information that we have as to the percentage of people by age that are likely to turn out. So we're using exit poll data from the last presidential election to give us an idea of what percentage of people in what age categories are likely to turn out to vote. And so we take the responses that our respondents give us, and then we statistically adjust. We weight that data by age, which, you know, certainly isn't to say that there aren't some people. But the question always is, are those people systematically different than the people that we've spoken to? You know, ultimately, Brian, I think that we're going to learn a little bit more about the effect of cell phones when we do have this election data this November.
Mm-hmm.
We're scientists, and we're interested in learning more, and we're interested in perfecting our craft. You know, we recognize that our craft has certain limitations. I think your response line is pointing out one that certainly we're aware of, and we do our best work to adjust to.
My guest on WNYC is Don Levy. He is director of the Siena Research Institute and the Siena Poll here in New York, making news this morning just in the last hour and a half for people not following the markets every 2 seconds and also paying attention to the presidential race and other things, making news for being out with a 5-point lead, only a 5-point lead for Barack Obama statewide in New York. That is down from 8 points a month ago. And 18 points in June in this same poll. And, you know, one of the things that's very interesting to me about your numbers is that Obama leads McCain on 4 out of the 6 major issues that you polled on. And, you know, again, with everybody obsessing on the economy today even more than they were yesterday, but in general this year, Obama leads in your poll by 11 percentage points on who's better to revitalize the American economy. Obama has about a 20-point lead on McCain when it comes to health care and education. McCain up by 20 points on keeping America safe from terrorism. So you have Obama's lead shrinking even while his issue lead on the things that people are probably most concerned about right now, health care, the economy in general, education, is vast.
That's true. We're showing that on revitalizing the American economy that Obama has an 11-point lead. Successfully ending the war in Iraq, Obama has a 10-point lead. And as you point out, very, very large leads in terms of health care and education. Where Senator McCain has the lead is in keeping America safe from terrorism and then also enhancing America's strength in the world. Given that, if we just focus on the economy for a second, given that Senator Obama's lead is 11 points on the economy, the fact that that lead shrinks within this sample to only 5 points, and actually it's sort of a soft 5 points, to be perfectly honest with you, then it casts some doubt on that dictum that it's the economy, stupid, right? There seems to be something else going on here, because quite clearly, even if, you know, we don't consider for 1 second any type of sampling problems that may exist, within this sample, we see people shrinking away to some degree from Senator Obama, despite the fact that they feel as though he's their choice on economic issues.
Did you ask any questions that would get specifically at what that is consciously for people? Because there's a lot of media speculation right now that this is happening, and obviously it's not only happening in New York, that it's happening largely because of Sarah Palin, and the combination of McCain and Palin make a very fresh-faced reform ticket despite his age, and make a ticket that more Americans, maybe even more New Yorkers, feel that they can identify with, so there becomes an identity thing, or there's a backlash against the media scrutiny of Sarah Palin. I mean, all these things are matters of media speculation. Is there any question in your poll that gets to the disparity between people rating Obama much higher on the most relevant issues, but their support for him dwindling?
Well, after we asked about those six issues, we then asked about six different character traits that people commonly say are important for their president or their leaders to have. And we found that the most striking difference was on the issue of experience. So 73% of New Yorkers rated McCain as embodying the type of experience that they'd like to see, as opposed to only 18% who rated Senator Obama there. Then we asked about patriotism, and it was almost a 3-to-1 edge to McCain over Obama on patriotism. We asked about intelligence, compassion. Those were two traits that Senator Obama was rated significantly higher than Senator McCain. And then Senator McCain had slight leads on the issues of integrity and leadership. So clearly, we also see when we ask people how much attention are you paying to the presidential race, and people rated that extremely high. Well over 80% of people said, I'm paying quite a bit of attention to the presidential race. So there's an awful lot going on for the voters, and it does seem as though what you've got is people have one view on the issues, and some people stay right at home. You know, whoever they're, if they're for Obama on the issues, if they're for McCain on the issues, they remain there. So you would call those people sort of hard Obama supporters or hard McCain supporters. But the various character issues or issues of experience and qualification, we do see some movement where people are moving away from the candidate that they rate better on issues because of those character traits.
Right. Now, I want to move on to your other poll number, and a little behind-the-scenes note for our listeners. We had originally booked you to talk about New Yorkers' view of the economy, and you're finding that a third of New York workers say they have taken on either more overtime or a second job in the last year. Then your McCain-Obama poll came out today, and so since that's a pretty news-making poll, we jumped on that. But I do want to talk about the economy and also open the phones to people as to whether this sounds like you. Have you taken a second job in the last year, either just to barely make ends meet or to maintain your standard of living if things are getting more expensive or whatever? 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. You say that one-third of New York residents and 13% of retirees are seeking overtime or second jobs. Is this happening in the lower-income populations primarily or more across the board?
Well, it's definitely happening more amongst people with less than the highest income, but we're seeing that even amongst people who are making, let's say, between $50,000 and $100,000 a year. Let me give a little bit of background on this particular poll. We're interested very much in tracking how New Yorkers are doing economically. So we asked people, are you better off or worse off than you were a year ago? And by almost a 3-to-1 margin, 45% to 16%, with, of course, about 40% saying I'm the same, New Yorkers are saying that they're worse off today than they were a year ago. By 48% to 36%, New Yorkers are saying they believe that the economy will not improve over the next year. But interestingly enough, a plurality of New Yorkers, 49% as opposed to 32%, think that their personal situations going to improve, which led us around to, okay, so how is that going to happen? If people tend to think that their situation has worsened over the last year, the economy is going to continue to worsen, and today's news seems to point in that direction a little bit, how is it that individuals are going to overcome that? Well, one of the things that we found is that, yes, indeed, people are taking strategies relative to transportation, relative to groceries, and then they're also out there going to get another job.
Now, it's interesting, too, that gap that you found between perceptions of the economy overall and optimism about their own personal fortunes. You must know, as opposed to that, we see this in field after field. What do you think about doctors in general? Doctors stink. What do you think about your doctor? Oh, I like my doctors. What do you think about public education? Public education stinks. What about you? What do you think about your child's school? Oh, that's a good school, right? And we're seeing that now with what do you think the economy in general is like? The economy is terrible. What do you think about you? Well, I'm pretty optimistic about myself. Yes.
Absolutely, and we're left to decide whether that's is that sufficiently realistic optimism or is it wishful thinking. You know, one thing that we ask people about, there's a great deal of discussion in the marketplace, of course, about what gas prices or food prices are doing to this monthly budget that all of us are supposed to have. And so we thought, well, that's an empirical question. What percentage of people actually do have a monthly budget? I mean, you could certainly argue that in tough times, one thing that we all ought to do is take a good, hard look at our budget. What's our income? What's our expenses? I don't think we'd be too happy either running or investing in a company that didn't keep a budget. So it's a fair question. How about individual households? We found that 43% of all New Yorkers say that they maintain a written monthly budget. Interesting, that sort of surprised us. We thought it was going to be even a lower number. You know, that may be the good news. You know, New Yorkers beat the pollsters in terms of our guess, but it still means that 57% of people don't keep a written track of their income and expenses. It casts a little doubt, perhaps, on people's optimism, because you would think that certainly knowing where you stand on a daily or monthly basis would be very important. We also found, we asked people, well, if you don't keep a budget now, did you ever? Did you ever try? And only a quarter of those who don't have a current budget ever tried. So 75% of those people who don't have a budget, or 40% of everybody across the board, don't have a budget today, and they never, ever kept one before.
Don Levy, director of the Siena Research Institute, the Siena Poll here in New York, my guest on WNYC. Can you stay for a few more minutes and take some phone calls? I know we're over our originally scheduled time, but both these surveys are so interesting, and people are calling in with questions, comments, stories. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, such as Joel on Staten Island. Hi, Joel. You're on WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Okay.
Brian, fast. I retired in 1968. Good pension. Good pension. Fairly good Social Security. I went back. I had to go back to work. Oil went up. My water is up. I own my own house. My electric is up. The food is up. And believe me when I tell you this, I got, don't misunderstand, I got really no bad habits. I'm not a gambler. I don't drink. It's horrible.
Do you keep a written budget?
Yes, sir.
Just curious.
Yes, sir. I kept a written budget and everything. Just an example, my oil bill, when I pay on the budget, went up over $100 a month.
Wow.
My water bill has gone up. The electric bill, Con Edison. I mean, I tell you one thing, Brian. I'm staunch Republican.
Uh-huh.
I'm voting Democrat.
Why do you think the Republicans are to blame?
Well, I heard this all my life. They're not doing anything. Whether you like Nixon or not, I don't want to get into part. He froze wages and prices back in the 70s. And these guys are all, they're all big millionaires. They couldn't care. They can't relate to us. You know, try working two jobs at my age.
So going back to work, I'm just curious, what kind of job did you take?
I got a job as a security guard. Not that much pay, but it pays the bills.
It closes that gap. Joel, thank you very much. Good luck. Hang in there.
Certainly,
thank
your
you
caller.
Much.
Your caller brings up a point that we saw. It's gasoline. It's food. 90% of New Yorkers are saying I'm paying more for food than I ever have before. 75% are saying, I'm very concerned about gasoline, I'm very concerned about food. And nearly 80% across every single demographic, even those making well over $100,000 a year, are saying that they're worried about their energy costs, their heating costs, come this winter. 83% of retirees, like your caller, are saying that they're very, very concerned about the effect that heating their home is going to have on their financial condition this winter.
Joe on Staten Island wants to ask about your presidential poll. Hi, Joe.
Hi. This is Mayor Joe.
Yeah, Joe, you're on.
Okay. How much is undecided in this poll? Because undecided is going to vote for McCain. You know why.
And you know why. Well, we'll go to the you know why, too. I assume he's implying race. But we've just been talking about the gap with respect to this poll that you have in New York State out this morning, which finds Obama with only a 5% lead statewide. What were the actual numbers?
Well, we've got 46-41 right now, Obama. So it's going to leave, there's about 13% of people that we spoke to this past calling period, this past weekend, who said that they're currently undecided. Now, we did take a look at how those people fell out on the issues, and some of them clearly do fall in the middle right now. So we as pollsters still don't know exactly how those people are going to make their decisions. You know, if you wanted to try to classify everyone as either a hard or a soft supporter, and we did do some work on that, mm-hmm. we end up coming up continuing with about the same spread, about 4 to 5 points, even when we try to push, based on their stance on the issues, all the undecided people in one direction or the other.
But so you've got 10 or 12% undecided there.
Correct.
And I wonder if they fall into any demographic. Are you able to tell whether, how much of that 10%, 12% undecided vote voted for Bush in 2004?
We did not ask that question, and we don't have that information right now. But it's certainly something that we'll continue to track as we continue to poll people.
At least in New York, is it almost like the Democrat is the incumbent? Because voting Democratic is so much the default position in New York State in national elections, and they have to somehow be convinced to not vote for a Democrat? Do you know what I mean? Is that analogy way off?
No, I think that analogy has got some weight. I mean, certainly we know that the Democrats have a very, very large lead in registered voters. In our poll, in our sample, there are almost a 20% lead of registered Democrats to Republicans. So how is it that we have this migration of some Democrats and of many independents already that we're seeing to McCain? I mean, that's what we're trying to track here. And right now, one of the things that we're picking up are some of these character issues. And the other that I stressed at the beginning of our interview is we see this very, very striking difference amongst white women that you could certainly start to credit to perhaps the Palin effect.
Right.
In fact,
and Joe's implication, I believe, when he said the undecideds are going to go for McCain and you know why, I'm guessing that he was imputing, you know, either racism or just racial discomfort to a lot of these folks. And I wonder if you asked any questions which tried to get at that at all. Like when you ask the attribute questions, I'm not sure I see any here that are surrogates for that. Compassion, patriotism, experience, intelligence. And by the way, Obama, did you mention this before? Obama has a 20-point lead over McCain in intelligence.
Yes.
Rated by New York voters 50 to 30. Integrity, they're about even. Leadership, McCain beats Obama by 10 points. But nothing there says, who are you comfortable with? Who do you feel understands people like you, you know, which somehow could be surrogates for race or class differences?
We did ask a question about whether you think each of the four candidates, the two presidential and the two VPs, to what extent you think they're qualified to be president of the United States. So John McCain came in
something else, though.
The highest there. But we didn't, in this particular survey, try to get at that comfort level that you're describing. We know that in polling, there's that social desirability effect. We have in a poll a couple of months ago, we asked specifically about, at that time, Hillary Clinton was still a candidate, of course, and we asked about comfort with someone's race or gender or age, for that matter. Very, very few people were willing to directly say that any of those three attributes would disqualify a candidate.
I do notice that by far, Sarah Palin is the only one who is rated not qualified by a group. She's in the 40s for qualification to be president, and everybody else is well above 50%. We're going to take one more caller on your economic question about people getting second jobs or working more overtime, and it's Mary in Suffolk County. Hi, Mary. You're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I actually live in Merrick, in Nassau, but I work all over eastern Nassau, western Suffolk, as a physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with babies. I see them in their home through early intervention, through a school, ACDS, and some agencies. And what I'm finding is that I make about 25 visits a week on an average, and I've definitely had to increase that number. When I don't work, I don't get paid, so when the kids cancel, I don't earn anything. So I'm a per diem. And what happens is my husband and I have really tried to balance things out. We have found that I definitely have to work more overall just to basically make ends meet and continue living the way we currently do.
Because the price of things is going up?
Yeah, I think so. Because the price, everything, I mean, I drive, so I have to face the gas, gas issue. I'm constantly watching that price, but also, home heating oil. And everything we do, the food in the store that we buy, the food that I buy on the road because I eat on the road quite a bit, everything's gone up quite a bit. So I definitely have to work more. The other side of it, too, is that thank God my husband has an annuity, but I didn't plan that way very well at all. And now I'm trying to work on that. So to get anything put aside, I really have to spend less and put away more. And we've actually talked to a financial planner about it. So I find things are definitely tougher and that I do have to work more. And I'm 50, and even though I love the kids I work with, I love it to pieces, but I don't know how much longer I can work at the level I'm working at.
Does all this make you lean one way or another in the presidential race, or were you already decided?
I've already decided. I really am leaning more towards Obama and Biden, although I think both tickets are really – I think both tickets are excellent choices, to be honest with you. I am definitely leaning more towards Obama and Biden, because I believe we need a real change in philosophy.
Thank you very much. And we'll leave it on this point, Dr. Davis, that you really found both tickets rated very positively, right? So this is a race among candidates who people like, at least here in New York State.
Certainly quite a bit of support for both of them, and quite clearly we've got an active election season at a time when we need to have an active election season because, as all your callers have pointed out, there are serious economic issues that we all face.
Dr. Don Levy, I think I just called you Davis, but you're not.
Yes.
That's somebody else. Dr. Don Levy, director of the Siena Research Institute, out with two interesting polls, one on the presidential race in New York State, one on the economy and people's choices right now. Thank you very much for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
We're going to be talking about the possible silver lining in this economic downturn. Believe it or not, our guest from Motley Fool in a minute will say there is one, or maybe there's more than one. The latest on the Dow, it's down about 260 right now, so they're not quite taking as bad a beating on Wall Street as was feared, which also could mean more optimistic for the larger economy. We'll update all of that coming up in a minute.